This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So we've got some Aaron Rodgers sound to get to. We've got some Adam Gase defensive sound to get to. A San Diego Padre stabbed outside of Pacers Showgirls International. We've got to get to that at some point. But we begin the rare stabbing outside of a strip club involving an athlete. You don't see a lot of those. The video is kind of horrific. He was wearing a white shirt, so you see the Tommy Pham. He had to go into surgery. You see all the blood on his shirt in the video. And a stabbing outside, that phrase, stabbing outside of a strip club, seems very dangerous and a precarious situation. I don't know what the real details are on it, but the way that it's being reported is he was interceding in a fight between two other people, that he was just sort of, caught in ancillary, violence. We will see if that turns out to be true or not. But the video is pretty horrifying. But we have to begin, as I promised yesterday, with Rick Renteria talk, family friend, because we didn't do enough of it yesterday.
Nice.
And baseball, the Dodgers last night did Dodger things. They're the best team in baseball. They scored 11 runs, and they're like, wait a minute, Braves. We know you're fun and exciting, and the top of your order is great, and that your pitching has been good against the Cubs and the Marlins, but we're a really good baseball team, and they came out yesterday to save their season with 11 first-inning runs.
And now it's up to Kershaw to continue to save the season. Built-in convenient back excuse. I love that. It's like he can't lose today, even if he loses, because the back hurts.
He can't win today, even if he wins, according to you.
Well, listen, I know in a 60-game regular season, pitching every fifth day could be grueling, and so, you know, I'll give him a little bit today.
No, you won't. You're right, I won't. When you say he can't lose today... Even if he loses, the truth is he can't win today, even if he wins, because if he gives you a season-saving with back spasms, 11 strikeout performance, shutout, you will say do it in the World Series, even though the World Series isn't here.
Correct. Do it again, because the numbers have been so bad historically for him in the postseason. One good start is not going to fix that, but he does enter today's start with a built-in excuse. Back hurts. Did not face the number two starter, now gets to face the number four starter. If he loses, it's because of the back. If he wins, he's heroic. It's a heady play by Kershaw.
Pitching the fifth day in a 60-game season, more grueling than pitching the fifth day in a 162-game season. It seems like it's still just every fifth day. Also, it's Bryce Wilson who he's going to beat. Like, come on.
Okay, well, back spasms makes it tough, though, but no excuses for Kershaw. Do it in the World Series. Do it again. Stugatz says, have a big game during the postseason, and he did already, but it wasn't a postseason that Stugatz was counting, because Stugatz's math on Kershaw is it's only a big game when he fails. But this takes us away from Rick Renteria in a way that displeases me.
My apologies.
It also takes us away from something else that you guys can't make enough fun of. If you listen to the local hour today, you will hear what it's like to drive home with Stugatz through a rest stop. You should check out the Big Suey and the local hour, because you will find David Sampson was exceptional, just talking about just ridiculous stuff that happened with the Marlins. And Stugatz and the shipping container were exceptional, riding home with Stugatz. But one of the things that they were making fun of there, and you can't make enough fun of it, and I'm surprised you guys didn't make fun of it as it was happening, because I was reading PPR, and I'm like, man, that phrase is Allison's phrase. That's a fantasy phrase, and I was passing it off as an advanced metric, that a fantasy acronym that I don't even know what it means. Like, the acronym PPR stands for what?
Points per reception.
Yeah, but you trotted it out with such confidence.
I did.
Yeah.
And you're the smartest guy in the room.
Yes.
We all kind of thought you were reading a fantasy stat, but the chances were equal that you discovered this new advanced metric that none of us knew, and we didn't want to show that we were idiots.
I was thinking the same thing. Maybe Dan and Bill James got together. They sat around. They discussed. No, did I do something to Bill James, Mike?
Can I admit something? Are you familiar with the four-corner graph that illustrates what's good teams? And you always want to be in that top right. You see this in NBA Twitter a lot, where it's players' faces.
Yes, I love the graphs, for example, that put the faces of Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero in one place, and then Kendrick Nunn is just put in the spot with just another guy, like in terms of what his overall value is when you pour in all the ingredients of measurement. Yes, that's one of my favorite ways, actually, the visual aids in order to do advanced metrics, where you find out what the value of a guy is based on all of the things that the computer nerds put together so that we don't have to put it together ourselves, because the analytics have gone crazy. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah, I'm holding up, for those watching on TV, I'm holding up to the camera an example of offensive EPA and defensive EPA. This is your standard advanced NFL graph that finds its way onto your timeline. And you just know top right is good, right?
It's measuring value.
I've got no idea what this means. I retweet it. I get excited if my team's in the top right quadrant. That's all I need.
That's everyone doing the work for you. It's all the numbers crunchers squeezing it into a cube and putting a face over here. And you can say now with confidence, this guy's good. He's got value.
And let me tell you something. 95% of you don't know what it means either.
That's all well and fine. But 95% of you do know what PPR means, and I don't. So
you became all of a sudden a big fantasy guy.
I know. All of a sudden, from one minute to the next. But again, this brings me back to my original point, as every point in my life does, back to Rick Renteria. And the way it brings me back to this is Rick Renteria was fired essentially because he hasn't kept up with the math movement. He was fired because he's considered one of the worst analytics guys. The secret weapon who took the Chicago White Sox to places they haven't been since that champion leader, Loon Ozzie Guillen. Rich Renteria.
He won a World Series.
Rich Renteria, a very different kind of Hispanic dude out here representing my people. The age of Tom Cruise, the shape of me, roly-poly Hispanic guy, doesn't care, but just the sweetest person in the world. The sweetest, everyone, that you will not find one person who has anything bad to say about my beloved Rick Renteria. He is the kindest man. Players love him, but he's a bit of a math dope. Like, he does. And so the White Sox are like, hey, thanks for the playoff success. We've got a young team that's really talented. Get on up out of here. And what it reminded me of, actually, Stugatz, that's funny, is you saw how Michael Lewis parlayed, and Billy Beane of the Oakland A's parlayed, sort of market inefficiencies into, you know, a Moneyball movie that I thought couldn't become a movie.
Yep.
That made me feel bad for Art Howe because he was being played by Philip Seymour Hoffman's genius.
Yep.
And Billy Beane was played by Brad Pitt, and I thought it was just unfair to Art Howe. And Billy Beane, Brad Pitt, is thinking to himself, the manager's job is to just put his elbow on his knee on the top dugout step and be the leader of this boat while being middle management. Like, appearing like he's the skipper, but being middle management. The guy who's in charge is actually Jonah Hill. The guy who's in charge is actually Brad Pitt. And that's what just fired my roly-poly friend, Rick Renteria. That's what just happened to him. The Chicago White Sox had success, but not as much as they thought they should have had if he would follow the analytics the way the rest of baseball had.
But the A's parlayed that into everything but a World Series.
Well, this is the Stugatz thing, right? We've talked how random baseball is, and so Stugatz gets to keep ripping the A's and Kershaw because they haven't held up a trophy at the end.
Am I the only person on the show that's been biting their lip the entire time trying to just do a segment about 2005 White Sox play? Players.
Oh, Paul Konerko.
Oh, Bobby Jenks.
Are we sure that Rick Renteria is that nice? Because I looked it up, and he's been ejected 30 times in 6 seasons. So maybe he's not that nice.
Well, we need to get Rick Renteria on. It's funny that you mentioned Bobby Jenks, Ron Karkovice, because Bobby Jenks, the way that Ozzie Guillen would call to the bullpen for him, because he was the shape of me, is to hold his arms out wide of his hips and say, send me the fat guy.
Yeah, that's
he would pantomime. He wouldn't go right arm, left arm. He would just go really wide with his arms and send me the jiggling guy from the bullpen.
Scott Podsednik.
Do you guys want to do 2005 White Sox? Any interest, Chris? Can we lure Chris and Roy and Billy into the 2005 White Sox game?
Jermaine Dye.
he was on that team?
Oh, Juan Uribe.
AJ Pierzynski has to be there, right?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yep, AJ was there. AJ
well,
was
wait,
there.
So Karkovic was the backup catcher, right?
Yes,
Karkovic
yes.
would have been the backup.
AJ Pierzynski's always there. He's never left.
So's Burley, right? Burley's always
there. Oh, yeah.
There.
They had Contreras, I believe. Wasn't Garland also on that roster?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the world
Somebody
champs.
Say Jermaine Dye.
Did we say Joe Creedy?
Yes, Jermaine Dye has been nominated. I'm still trying to figure out who was the second baseman on those White Sox teams.
Tahadito Iguchi Dan.
What?
It was a different time. We love this time in baseball so much.
Be a part.
Rock.
What just happened there with your timing, Chris?
Freddie Garcia, man.
Chris,
come on,
what happened? What did you just do, Chris? That was your contribution to the segment, is to get the timing all wrong?
That's right.
What did you say?
Ross glowed.
It was worth it.
It was. I'm sorry.
Don Libertard.
Wyatt, I think I'm going to have you go out and get me some more soup. I'm going to just be slurping it on air because it's just... look at the sweat forming on my forehead. Chicken soup. Magical.
Stugatz.
That's as close as I'm coming to a live spot right there.
All right.
I'm Dan Lebatard on behalf of Chicken Soup.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Guest on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Breaking news out of the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons are shutting down their facility after multiple positive COVID-19 tests, sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter, putting their game scheduled for Sunday in Minnesota with the Vikings in jeopardy.
Breaking news is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Nick Saban also is positive, not surprisingly. The South is a bit of a virus-soaked dumpster fire, and this was all incredibly predictable and mirrors the arrogance of our country, politically, really. What's happened in football, in general, is what happened to America. We had plenty of warnings from a whole bunch of different countries who were handling it differently. American football had plenty of examples beyond the bubbles of basketball and hockey. Plenty of examples internationally of how to handle this correctly. And football was like, no, nope, we're just going to bulldoze through this and we're going to get our dollars however we can. And we're going to keep throwing these bodies, young and old, into a wood chipper. Because what's happening right now should be offensive to you in college football and the pros in terms of how many of these human beings are getting injured because they can't play this game this way. They're getting hurt at a pace that seems disproportionate, Stugatz. Like, yep. Where you've got these teams, never mind the teams that simply can't play at all. The San Francisco 49ers are throwing out a mutation. They are asking Shanahan to do something with just garbage, and they still beat the Giants, but they're not physically right. They went into New York to play the Jets, and they left with half their team hurt.
I know. Certain teams are just not getting enough practice time, not enough preseason time. The injuries are crazy. I wonder how Dan Mullen, the head coach at Florida, feels today. Because I'm moments after he said, I want 90,000 at the Swamp. And by the way, I wonder if Dan Mullen's ever actually sat in the seats at the Swamp. They pack them in like sardines. Like, it cannot be that important, winning and losing, where you're a man who's in a position like that with a platform.
It is to these apes. How many of these college football apes do you have to worship into a leadership position before you realize they're all lopsided, self-important apes? Like,
I don't understand how a person who has a platform, who's in a position of leadership, and is overseeing 18, 19, to 20-year-old kids, wants 90,000 fans at the Swamp.
What are you talking about? Never mind. Go higher. Go to the top of our country. Like, what are you talking about? Are you not watching what's happening in America?
I am. It's irresponsible.
But what Mullen's doing is just following the lead of the governor of the state, who's just following the lead of the president of the company, country. What do you mean?
But that's my point. You don't have to just be a follower. You can stand out and actually be a leader. No, Dan, I tell my kids all the time, that guy on your television screen, he's not your governor. I am. I'll tell you when it's safe to go outside, and it's not safe to go outside yet.
That's fine. And that's
unless it's for a lacrosse tournament, and then we'll
then you're fine. Yes, especially UA All-American. Yes.
That is
that months ago.
What's happening? It almost happened again this week.
I got your lacrosse schedule.
It almost happened again this week. What do you mean it was months ago?
A little visit to Chicago this week. We canceled it because why? We're responsible adults and we realized
you didn't even know it was a hot zone.
Yeah, until
Mike told you.
Yeah. You have visits to Delaware and two visits to Maryland.
You were headed there again this
tentative.
When was he headed there? Monday? Again to another hot zone?
This weekend. Yeah, he was headed to Illinois.
How can you lecture Mullen when you are him?
Well, I'm not Dan Mullen. I'm not the head coach of the University of Florida. I'm Stu Gott.
You chose to go to a hot
coach of a lacrosse program.
Right, and I am listen, we made many difficult decisions.
Oh, look at you.
I am telling you, we're still not certain we're going to these tournaments, and I will tell you another thing. My daughter is a trainer, all right, intern trainer for the football high school football team. I told her yesterday, we're done with this.
It's a whole lot of sausage finger pivoting publicly.
Flaunt your hypocrisy.
I said we're done training.
You're just sinking us in lies and details meant to cover the fact that Mike protected you this week from going to a hot zone that you did not know you were going to for a lacrosse tournament while yelling at Dan Mullen.
I mean, I was still going to go. My wife, you know, we were planning on going. My wife ended up canceling the trip. I mean, what can I tell you? I had no idea that Illinois was a hot zone. I didn't think there was any hotter zone than the zone of Florida.
Can you be who you are? Can we just marvel?
Mullen.
You just did 45 seconds of waving sausage fingers around so we wouldn't notice that you are Dan Mullen.
I'm not Dan Mullen.
How could you make college football so important, guy? He says, as the guy who makes lacrosse, high school girls lacrosse, that important.
I'm not asking for 90,000 people to come out and support my lacrosse team. I mean, I'm not. He's asking for 90,000 kids to get hammered and sit in the swamp within an inch of each other because he wants a competitive advantage because Texas A&M had one. It's absurd.
You've been coming in and been coming in and out of hot zones while barely 6 feet from me and never wearing a mask and spitting your hot takes in my general direction. It's me that's at risk with you. And then it becomes us who's at risk with you. And it becomes Gainesville that's at risk with Mullen. And then it becomes America who's at risk with Mullen.
Then you get 90,000 kids who are all hanging out, drinking beers, taking sips out of the same cups, doing Lord knows what at these games. I've been to the games. I've been to the swamp. I know what's going on in the stands. You have these kids doing all these things. And then what do? They go home to see their parents for Thanksgiving. This is irresponsible. It's irresponsible of the kids, the governor, Dan Mullen, everybody.
You can't lecture anybody. You can't. You can't. You got nothing to stand on.
You're probably right.
You're the same guy.
He's worried about kids traveling and bringing it back to the family. He's taking the entire family to multiple hot states.
Yeah, we leave Emma home.
Mike, you're positive, right, that he didn't know he was going into a hot zone again and that you talked him out of it because he was going...
He was angling
by informing him that he was going to a hot zone.
I did not talk him out of it. He was still going full bore into the hot zone, regardless of my apprehension about it. It just fell apart because Abby's the real governor.
Very good.
Bingo.
Ponte los patines. Time for some ads.
Alfonso Ribeiro joins us next. I'm not a big Fresh Prince guy, so hopefully the group here gets very excited about talking to Alfonso Ribeiro here.
He's a great game show host right now, too.
So he's going to join us next.
Game Show Network, you're watching that? I'm telling you, Mike, that is the first signal of aging. Watching soap operas in the Game Show Network.
Dan Le Batard will be back in 2 and 2.
Stugatz.
Let's go get a snack.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
Alfonso Ribeiro going to join us in just a minute. Very excited for this on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Carlton, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30.
He's had a very big career. Now, Amin's kid somehow didn't know who he was in the State Farm commercials. He's also got America's Funniest Home Videos, premieres Sunday, October 18th, 7 p.m. Eastern on ABC. But we are excited to get to him. Christine, can you hold on a second? Because I got to move everyone out of the way to talk to this guy because I got a ton of questions for him. I guess I'll start here, Alfonso, and thank you. Has anyone ever tried to physically harm you because they think you're Carlton?
Yes, absolutely. I had a situation many, many, many moons ago where a dude walked up to me and goes, "Yo, you Carlton," and then punched me in the face. And I ended up whooping his butt. And then I was like, and I stopped myself before I actually really hurt him. And I was like, why did you hit me? And he's like, I got so excited. I didn't know what else to do. And I just walked away.
Okay. I can't imagine how embarrassing it is, though, to hit Carlton because you think he's Carlton and then get your ass whooped by Carlton.
Well, the reality is that Carlton is a fake person. He's not real. But Alfonso, who grew up in the Bronx,
yeah,
is very real.
At the Fonz, I mean.
So how annoying is it to you? Because you've created a dance that Mike Ryan has claimed will live forever. Forever. How annoying is it to you, the number of people a day who come up and try and do some form of that dance in front of you?
You know, years ago, I would say that was absolutely annoying to me. But now I take it as a compliment, where I recognize that I was lucky enough to do something to bring pleasure to people's lives, and all they're doing is showing me ultimately the pleasure that I brought them. So I take it as a compliment now. But when I was much younger, I didn't quite see it that way. I was like, you're really annoying. Why are you coming up to me dancing in front of me?
Well, what changed? You know, what changed? Was it age, wisdom, experience, mortality? Like, what changed?
I think all of it. I think, you know, other than mortality, everything kind of changed. And it was, you know, at the end of the day, age, wisdom, understanding, getting out of my own head, and it's not just about me, but trying to understand other people better, gave me the ability to kind of see it through their eyes. I had friends that, like, you know, showed me kind of a different way of looking at it, and I came to actually appreciate what they were actually saying, because I was able to see it through their eyes. But age and wisdom gave me that.
Alfonso, did you think at the time when you're in it, did you think or know or say to yourself, hey, I am making, this character is going to live forever. This is going to be an iconic character. Did you know it while you were in it?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. When you know, when you're creating and you're doing stuff, where you're acting and you're being a character and you're so entrenched in your own, you know, creativity that you're not living on the outside. You're just in your own head trying to be creative every week. So you don't have any perspective. You don't have any way of kind of seeing the impact that what you're doing might be having on other people, because you're just focused on the next week, right? So once the show is done, you got a new script the next week. You got to try to make that just as great. So you're so focused on that. There's no way to kind of see the impact that you're doing if you're truly in it. You know, if you're in the trenches, there's no way for you to see, you know, the horizon.
It is funny to consider Fresh Prince as the trenches. Season 31 of America's Funniest Home Videos premieres Sunday, October 18th, 7 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Alfonso Ribeiro, I don't know where you guys know him from, because it could be now to a new generation, the Chris Paul commercials for State Farm, or it could be America's Funniest Home Videos. For us, it's Fresh Prince, which only lasted how many seasons? Because I'm stunned.
We only did six seasons. We did six seasons.
Crazy.
But in syndication, you know, it's been on for 28 seasons. So 28 years later, it's still playing. So for a large generation, even though we were off the air, we were getting kind of the ratings we were still getting because people were watching it in syndication.
Why does it resonate that way?
You know, I think that a couple of different things. I think we told incredible stories, stories that still today are stories that need to be told. But we did it in a way that everybody can appreciate it and feel less like they're lectured to. Because we did it, you know, where an episode where Will and I get pulled over by the cops, right? It wasn't a lecture. This is just what happened, and it was the reactions and the comedy that we laid into the story of how police just pull over black people because they're black, you know? So if people could understand the story but not feel like they're being, you know, lectured to or told what position they should take, it allowed the audience to take whatever position they felt was right.
Carl Everett also.
Alfonso, you and the
Alfonso, you and the cast members with Will Smith and everybody on Fresh Prince had a reunion recently, and we were all surprised that Jenna Hubert actually showed up and had a conversation with Will. Could you describe the relationship with Janet and Will, and what exactly led to Janet being led off of the show?
That is Roy's baby. That is baby. That is okay. Princess Claire.
Oh, sorry.
Princess Claire.
Well, I'm not going down the road of spilt milk in the past. Obviously, she and Will found a way to get together and discuss it, and we'll see. Obviously, I wasn't there when that occurred, when she came on. I only did one of the days of the reunion because I had to do my day job, America's Funniest Home Videos. And so I don't know very much about what was said and how it was said, but happy for both of them to have found peace in their relationship.
You really ended up in a place here where you gave us just sports talk, cliche stuff there, instead of telling us about the dirty secrets about how nobody liked Aunt Viv. Like you've been around locker rooms enough to know, Alfonso. You just gave us coach speak there when we wanted some of the juicy details. You're like, I'm not going to get into the past.
Very
like,
what? Well done by
I'm
you.
Like, what was that? You took that super seriously.
Well, yeah, listen, my life today is so positive, and I'm so lucky to be living my dreams that the idea of going into negative space anymore just isn't worth it. So I remain positive. I remain very happy. I've got great family. I've got a wonderful show, America's Funniest Home Videos, that's doing fantastic on ABC. I have State Farm ads. I'm doing a great thing for Mars Wrigley called Treat Town, which is an app that's coming out, that's out right now, that kids can basically safely trick-or-treat this Halloween. I'm loving what I'm doing. So, you know, the gutter is not a place for me anymore.
Ah, Timo Perez.
Alfonso, what you're saying is great. I love your resume. I love the shows, but I see one big hole in your resume, and this is moving forward and something that I think you need to do. You've done Dancing with the Stars. I think you need to do The Masked Singer.
You know, I'll tell you, a lot of people through the last couple of years have thought that I've been on it, and I'm always like, the problem with The Masked Singer for me is the fact that you get nothing out of it until you lose, because you don't get to actually show people what you're doing. They just kind of see this crazy little masked person doing it. And then when you lose, you're the loser of the week and your name is out there, versus winning every week by doing something. I did a show years ago for Simon Cowell called Celebrity Duets that I ended up winning. That made sense to me because every week people knew it was me doing my performance and you get something out of it. I don't understand what people get out of The Masked Singer professionally. The love of the audience is great, but professionally, I don't understand what you get out of it. You only get your name in the press when you lose.
But if you win, you get the golden mask.
He's such a competitor, man. If only Chris Paul had this kind of heart. He won Dancing with the Stars. He wasn't on Dancing with the Stars to finish third. He won Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. You want a duet show? All right. I'm going to kick everyone's ass like I kicked that one guy's ass who was so excited to see me as Colton that he punched me in the face.
You know, look. I am an incredibly, competitive person. And for me, like, losing isn't an option for me. Like, I will work tirelessly.
It's so good. It's so good because you are the character in the Chris Paul commercials, except, like, it, successful.
That's his only option.
Like, I'll show you, kid, what I got, except the only insurance you're going to need is when I bust your ass. Alfonso,
hey,
thank
listen.
You. Thank you.
You got to have fun.
Thank you.
Sometimes a hook shot doesn't go in.
America's Funniest Home Videos, Sunday, October 18th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for being on with us. I can't believe I didn't even ask you about being in the Michael Jackson, was it a commercial or a video? It was the Pepsi commercial, right?
It was the Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson in 1984, around the same time. There was two commercials. One was the what was called The Kid, which is the one that I was in. The other one was called The Concert, and that is where all of his real trouble started, where he burned his hair coming down the steps while making the commercial. So it was a great time and a bad time, all in like 2 weeks.
You were there with him when his hair caught fire? You were there, like you saw it?
No, I wasn't there because that was the other commercial. But I did see, Michael did show me the raw footage of it about 4 months later, of how it all happened. So they had raw footage. It's online. People can find it if they go to YouTube. But yeah, that's what he showed me. But it was a great time and a horrible time because obviously he went through a lot of pain. But that commercial kind of, you know, changed my life.
America's Funniest Home Videos, Sunday, October 18th, 7 p.m. Eastern, ABC, season 31. It's one of the most successful shows in the history of our country. Alfonso, thank you for being on with us.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. And I listen to you guys every morning. So it's a pleasure to hang with y'all.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow then. We'll call you tomorrow.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Seriously.
We're calling you tomorrow. All right. All right.
Have a good day.
All right.
Dan Le Batard.
Your mother has seen me naked.
Stugatz.
I don't like myself.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Chris Ames at Shameless Ames 86 says, there goes the hashtag grief eater trying to wallow, going straight to mortality with Carlton. All right.
Thank you for listening so closely. That took some strange turns with Carlton. Is he coming back on with us tomorrow, Mike?
He hit me with the whole, I'll call you. He has the number to the bat line, and I was like, look, I understand you're a very busy man. He's got like three different things he's working on right now. If you're ever on the freeway, like say next Wednesday, and you just want to check in, give us a ring.
The I'll call you means he's never coming on this program again. The only one who has ever delivered on an I'll call you is Steve Garvey. That is it.
You know what? I have confidence, actually. We'll see whether or not, we'll see who's right. What is the wager that you guys want to make? I believe that Carlton will call us tomorrow at the appointed time because Carlton always wants to win, and he wouldn't want to lose with our audience.
Right.
You should have taken that sort of approach while he was on the line, because now you're tapping into that killer instinct.
Well, he's listening. He's still out there listening because Carlton likes him some Carlton, and he wants to hear what we're saying about
it. So if he's listening, I'll bet $100 that he does not call in. And Carlton, if you are listening, I will cut you in 50-50.
And if you are listening, I would like to apologize on Dan's behalf for saying you're listening and then he calls you arrogant.
I'd like to apologize on our behalf for never explaining that Chris Cody was mentioning 2005 Chicago White Sox in the spaces when you stopped talking.
And finally, the smash hit Dexter is returning to Showtime for a 10-episode limited series run with star Michael C. Hall in the fall of 2021. How about that?
The lovable serial killer. And I'm talking about Christine Lacy.
Give yourself a lab. Trying to rectify one of the worst endings to a beloved show ever.
They need to rectify that. A lot of people are going to end up being excited by that. Dominique Foxworth is going to join us here. Is that filmed in Miami or made to look like it's in Miami?
It is most certainly not filmed in Miami, outside of a couple of shots they absolutely needed to. They had a boat dock in Kendall, Dan.
Okay, very good. We've got Dominique Foxworth coming up later in the show to talk about something he's written, but we go right back to our Rick Renteria obsession for the next hour.